Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Famous last words. It's often said in a sarcastic tone, right? Famous last words, like Civil War U.S. General John Sedgwick said they couldn't hit an elephant from this distance right before he was killed by a sniper. We ask convicts, what are their last words? There are many famous last words. And I think about what does it mean to give last words. Sometimes it's an offer to reconcile. Sometimes it's asking for forgiveness. Sometimes it's imparting wisdom or knowledge or hopes or dreams for future generations. But I think last words really matter. I think they're really important. And I think if you just stop for a moment and think about what are your last words for the ones you love or you care about, the ones that you might include with your will or might be read at your service, if you were to give your last words right now, what would they be? Scripture is filled with last words that are meant to impart knowledge and wisdom and hopes and dreams for the generations to come. So last week we heard the first chapters of the first book of Samuel, and it was Hannah in her old age praying for a son, which she was granted. He's named Samuel. He was a unique man in scriptural history because he was a prophet and a priest, and he anointed the first and second kings of Israel. He anointed King David, the greatest king of Israel of all times. Today we hear the last words of 2 Samuel. It's David's last words. And he's not on his deathbed, but he's nearing the end of his life, and he wants to impart this wisdom. But it starts with the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. So they're starting by pointing out who David is. He's the favored son of Jesse. He's the favored son of the God of Jacob. And the God of Jacob tells us it's the God of our ancestors. This isn't some new or different God. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, David. He's the strong one of Israel. And they're talking about both David and God. And then David says, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. And the God of Israel has spoken. So he's not offering his words. He's offering God's words to his nation at the end of his life. And what he says after that is basically that God has shined upon him and upon his deeds. And if you look around, he says, look around at what we have here, and we have a united nation that is strong and is faithful. And because we have been strong and faithful, God has shined upon us. And he said, and we are part of a covenant that is strong and true, a covenant that is going to last. And he's reminding us throughout the generations, they remind us of the covenant that you will be fruitful and multiply. But then there's an if. If you remain faithful to God, if you praise God, if you live in fear of God, and it doesn't mean terror fear, it means awe. And he said, but if you're like the thorns that nobody can touch, you're going to be thrown away. You're going to be burned in the fire. And so his message, his final message to us is turn to God. Trust in God, rely on God, be faithful to God, and God will shine upon you. Or don't, and there's consequences for that. And I think about the last words of Moses. If we think about Moses, he was standing on Mount Moab overlooking the Promised Land, but he wasn't going to be allowed to go into the Promised Land. And so he was imparting wisdom and knowledge to the people of Israel. And he was saying, remember your God. Remember the God who brought you through the wilderness into the Promised Land. And he will smile upon you. And if you misbehave like we did for those 40 years, that's what you're going to get. The prophets, the priests, reminded people throughout the generations, trust in God, follow God, and you will be rewarded. Don't, and you won't. I think of Stephen. He's the first Christian martyr. As he was being stoned, he says, please forgive them the sin that they are doing. Which in a sense is saying, turn to God. Turn to God. All of this is an invitation to us to think about the choices we make. And we hear these choices every week, and we think about them probably every day. Every time you have that angel and devil saying, do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it, we have choices every day. And what we know is if we keep turning to God and asking for God's help, that voice gets stronger in us. And if we keep saying just this one time, that voice gets stronger in us. And so all these great leaders and rulers keep saying, pay attention. It matters. So from the book of Revelation today, which we know is a very different kind of book, it speaks of a future time. It speaks about what's going to happen in the end times. And it starts out with a blessing for us. It's not saying, this is here, I'm telling you this to scare you and curse you. It's saying, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with that because it's supposed to be a blessing. It's supposed to bring us joy. And then it continues that we are going to see God coming down from heaven. And it says, every eye will see, even those who pierced me. Every eye will see me coming from the heavens in glory. And we will hear, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, and the one who was, and the one who is to come. Twice in that short reading, we hear, I am the one who is, and the one who was, and the one who is to come. It doesn't start with was, is, will be. It starts with is. Jesus who is, God who is, the spirits who are with us. And have been and will be. And then we come to the Gospel of John today. And John, the last third of John is Jesus' farewell. But up until now, we've been hearing Mark. And Mark, for the last couple of weeks, has been saying to the disciples, beware. Beware of those who are going to lead you astray. Beware of those who tell you false things. Beware of those that you think you can trust. Pay attention. And Jesus is saying to them, pay attention. Look at what you're seeing. Notice what's happening around you so that you know who you can trust. But John today is in front of, Jesus is again in front of Pilate. And Pilate is saying, are you the king of the Jews? Pilate's trying to figure it out. He's saying, I don't know what's going on here. You've got to help me. And Jesus said, well, did you figure that out on your own or did somebody tell you? And Pilate said, well, I'm not a Jew, am I? It's your people, your priests that have turned you over to me. And so are you the king of the Jews? Like, have they turned over their king? It's the Gospel of John, so he doesn't directly answer anything, but he's saying, this is not my kingdom. I'm not of this world. I am a king. And what we know is he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but was not king on this earth. And Pilate, whoa, don't know what to do with that. And we know what happens in the end. But on this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, when we look again at the end of the church year and we're facing both the coming of Advent, the first and second Advent, the coming of the little baby, the coming of Christ in glory, It's that opportunity to pause and say, so what was this all about? What was this whole last year about? And I think the collect helps point us to that. Today's collect is Almighty and Everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule. This whole story is saying we're messed up. We're enslaved by sin. We're divided. We don't need anybody to tell us that. And the whole point is that Jesus comes into our lives and unites us with him and with each other. An entire year of saying, just listen to this. These are my parting words. We've got choices. We're being invited. We're not being condemned. We're being invited to trust these words, to trust all the great leaders throughout history whose parting words have been, just turn to God. He doesn't want death for us. He wants life. He wants wholeness. He wants unity. And if we simply turn to him, it will be so. So as we hit this turning point today, making a decision about how we are going to spend our Advent, we already had Black Friday, Shop Local Saturday, tomorrow Cyber Monday. Maybe your shopping is done, maybe you shop on Christmas Eve. But it's not about that. It's about how we live our lives, attuned to God, listening to God, turning to God. So today, what are you going to choose? Amen.